Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The 1-2 pitch, ground ball over the mound, backing up to the center field, taken by the second baseman, throw it to first in time. Jason Kipnis goes up the middle of the diamond to take a ground ball hopping over second into shallow center field and wins it for Cleveland 4-2.
A great play by Jason Kipnis to put an exclamation, a bold-faced exclamation point in the Cleveland Indians 4-2 win over the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, we're down to the stems and seeds, folks. There's no other way to put it. The Jays are down 3-0 in the best of 7 series. And
you were so optimistic yesterday.
I was. I felt better about them going into that game than I did last year when they were down 2-0 because they were facing a pitcher with 10 stitches in his frickin' finger. Now, I didn't expect the finger to open up in the first inning, but it did. And then, lo and behold, the Indians ran out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 relievers, none of whom a lineup that at one point was the best lineup in the American League, if not Major League Baseball. You could even get a sniff of.
Well, five of them are right-handed.
Five of them are right-handed. That's true. But come on. I'm looking at this. Edwin. Yeah, I mean, forget Jose Bautista for the time being. Edwin. Nothing. Tulo. I mean, I'm going to give Tulo up. Russ Martin. A ground out, strikeout swinging, caught looking. I got to tell you this, and I think you and other people understand what I mean. I really hope Russ Martin does need surgery at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because I'm hoping that what I'm seeing is a guy who's really, 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 really hurt. And anyhow, I mean, you could go on forever.
Yeah, I just think they're easy to pitch to. Their lineup's easy to pitch to. You got a catcher in Perez for Cleveland behind the plate. That what's the plan in all of baseball is to throw strike one. So what do? I set up outer third versus the right-handers for the fastball because I want to throw that for a strike. And then when I throw my breaking ball, I set up on the black part of the plate because when they miss off the plate. That's your approach. It's not – the Blue Jays have not done anything whatsoever to get them away from that plan. It's an easy plan. There's no I heard you guys talking about, you know, Perez has done a good job behind the plate. Yeah, he has, but it's easy. It's an easy approach now. It's fastball outer third and then that breaking ball off the plate. It's – you either throw in the perfect breaking ball or the Blue Jays chase the one off the plate. That's to me, that's a pretty easy approach. That's not, you know, most big league pitchers anywhere. I'm not taking anything away from Cleveland because you have to still go out and execute the game plan, which they've done. But let's face it. The fastballs that the Indians have thrown on the plate are hittable. They've thrown a lot of those. The Blue Jays are either taking for strikes and then swinging at balls out of the strike zone. It's just, you know, it's to me right now, the better team's winning. That's to me, that's what it comes down to. Cleveland has done everything right. They pitch better out of the bullpen. They've run the bases better. They play better defense. They're getting better big hits at the right time. Just right now, they're a better team. I don't know. You could argue that the Blue Jays have a better rotation, which they do. But unless you can do more parts of the game this time of the year, which is some of your big guys got to step up. I mean, all the numbers you're reading there, Russell to me looks hurt. The big, huge swings, I'm with you. I don't hope he has to have surgery, but there has to be a reason why he's
looking
the way he is and swinging the way he is. And
I'm hoping it's health and not just a loss of effectiveness. Now, several people pointed out, I mean, his postseason numbers have not been great. And this is not
he's in that 180 range.
And listen, this isn't turning into a bash Russ Martin thing because anybody who's listened to the show or listened to my show knows we're big fans.
There
are some people who aren't fans of Russ Martin. I'm not going to mention any names, but neither of them are sitting in this particular room.
Well, there's a reason why the rotation's good. You know, obviously the rotation has to throw the ball, but it's about where you're setting up, how you're setting guys up, and who you're working through. You know, there's been a lot of guys have career years in that rotation and coming out of that pen. You know, Joe Biagini sometimes needs to be as simple as possible. And Russ has a lot to do with that. I'm just saying, at the plate, as hard as he swing, I used to swing that hard when I had problems with my body. I had to try and overcompensate and create bat speed. You see how hard he swings. He swings so hard he almost takes a knee.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you hope everything's okay there. I'm sure he's battling through it, but somebody's going to have to start getting some hits.
Well, look.
Some big hits.
They're down 3-0. Everybody knows only one team has come back in a best-of-seven series to win the series after being down 3-0. That happens to be a team that was managed by Terry Francona, the 2004 the 2004 Red Sox. In point of fact, teams that go up 3-0 generally win game four. I mean, we're down to the point now where all the cliches apply. And as I said when we were talking to, I believe it was Joe Siddle, I mean, one of the things about cliches is when cliches start to make sense, you're in a world of trouble. I mean, you're in a world of trouble when you can look at a cliche and go, yeah, that's right, our balls are to the wall, or our backs are to the wall.
Yeah.
What do these guys, what do the Jays have to do today against Corey Kluber? Here's a guy pitching on 3 days, a guy that you had a chance in game one.
Yeah, you had first and second, three innings in a row.
And actually the first inning you had second and third, one out, your big boy's coming up, and Batista strikes out in three pitches, Martin grounds out first. What do they have to do to get this started, Kevin? What do they have to do?
I think the bigger question is, can they do that? I think that's what you have to ask yourself is, if you're Kluber, do you change anything?
No,
basically, your fastball away, curveball, or whatever, whichever breaking pitch you want to throw, and when you miss, make sure you miss off the plate and not on the plate. That's why you see Perez setting up on the black part of the plate. That way, basically, it's a perfect breaking ball, or it's off the plate. You get an aggressive team at the plate that wants to try and do something, make something happen. They go outside the zone. They swing a lot of balls. Most of those breaking balls that Cleveland's throwing are not strikes. Mm-hmm. It's how they get ahead. They get ahead because the Blue Jays are taking strike one with the fastball on the outer third because they just don't want to buy into using the whole part of the field. And it works pitched. It's coming to the realization when you watch 1-9 in the lineup. I'm not saying everybody. Donaldson's one of those guys. You can see he's buying in. He's trying to hit it where it's pitched.
You know, he's such a professional hitter.
He is a very good hitter. Well, he has a lot of talent. That takes him, that separates him from everybody else is he can actually do it. I'm just saying, can a 1-9 lineup do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be the question. You got to figure Terry Francona is going to try and slam it shut today because he's been there and done it. He understands what 3-0 means, and you know, you give a team a little bit of life, what can happen. He's going to run out all of his big boys, and you're going to have to face all these hard-throwing righties if Kluber doesn't go where the Cleveland wants him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Kluber's not going to change anything. Now it's up to the Blue Jays. Can they do that? They're going to have to try and get some hits to the right of second base. They're going to at least have the game plan of hitting a ball hard over there consistently. You know, two or three or four in a row or four or five guys just buying into saying, okay, if we make an out or first at bat, at least we're going to attack, hunt fastball, and adjust everything else. If he throws me three breaking balls for strikes, tip your hat and walk away, what difference does it make you strike out again? I mean, you're striking out like crazy. What difference does that make? So at least go up, hunt a pitch. When you get it, put a good pass on it. That's all you can do now is do what you can control yourself doing at the plate, which is I can get a strike, preferably a fastball. Basically, the Blue Jays have shown everybody breaking ball is not their friend. It's like that movie.
Yeah.
So go up, hunt fastball early in the count. When you get it, put a good pass on it. That's right now, it's got to be that simple. It really does. And hopefully Aaron Sanchez can, you know, drop some zeros for a long time in this game because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a special game from a starter on this team to get them get a little energy.
The use of Terry Francona's bullpen yesterday. I mean, Terry Francona used, what did I count? 6 relievers out of the bullpen after Trevor Bauer left early with that finger
issue. If you're management, you got to be just fired up about Bauer. I know I would be. Boy.
Mad?
Oh, man. Basically, the Indians, or Cleveland, has... That could have opened the door for the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
it really could have.
No, you
it really
right
could have
that.
Opened the door for him.
But why
a stupid
send,
mistake?
Why
That's
send
basically
him out,
what that is. If
why send him out there, Ken? Let me ask you this. Now that
what's their other option?
Okay, but I was going to say now that we And I'm going to admit, this is second guessing. I'll throw that out there. But now that we saw what happened, right? Couldn't even make it, what?
Two-thirds of an inning.
Should Cleveland have done something differently?
What? I mean, I think what it was is Francona was doing a little begging. He was saying, okay, we have all these scenarios. Hopefully Bauer can get us to at least the fourth inning.
Right.
And if I get it to the fourth inning, our bullpen can get us where we need to go, and we can ultimately get it to who? Miller and Allen. And that's where you want to go, right?
One of the points that was made was, you know, the idea, it was like a fight. Get the first inning done, the first round done, get him in the clubhouse, whatever, crazy glue, whatever the hell we have to put on to keep this thing, get him out there for the second inning. When that's done, get him in the clubhouse, get it looked at again, whatever it would take to get it done. I think that was what Terry Francona was hoping for. But the reason I wanted to ask you about that is six different relievers. No Jays hitter saw the same pitcher twice.
Yep.
Which, you know, that people are going to say, okay, well, yeah, you've got all those relievers. How difficult is it? Trust me, that ain't easy.
Now,
it's hard. You need your, you know, basically I'm looking at this. What you need are your relievers to make sure that they don't have innings where they give up multiple hits. I mean, you know, I'm looking at this. There were a couple of innings here where the Jays got multiple hits, the second inning. But, I mean, the rest of it, you know, ninth inning, leadoff single, nothing else. Eighth inning, nothing happening. Seventh inning, a walk with two outs. But what I was getting at, as hitters, Kevin, you got all these different guys coming out from the start of the game. Mm-hmm. Does that play with the hitter's mind as well?
Maybe a little bit, but to me, it's simplified. All of these right-handers are doing the exact same thing. They're just maybe doing it from a different arm angle. They're doing it. It's basically get ahead with a fastball and expand the strike zone with a breaking ball and don't hang it.
And most of these guys don't have three or four pitches because we're not talking about starting pitchers, right? We're talking about bullpen
guys. 129 pitches, no changeups.
That is
129 pitches, no changes. I understand it's all basically that entire game was with relievers.
Yeah.
Do you think about that? Two pitches. It's either a breaking ball or a fastball. That's 129 pitches, no changeups. That's why I ask you, was the Saunders home run off of Otero a changeup? Because if it was a changeup, he throws a slider and a changeup same speed. He couldn't tell which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's a changeup, it's one changeup and 128 other pitches. I mean, to say that as a hitter, it is very hard because normally they have to work through certain things. They have to throw differently to a left-hander than they do a right-hander, meaning they have to change it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're starting a guy off of the changeup. They're starting a guy off the breaking ball. Basically, it's the same thing. Besides Cody Allen yesterday came in and flipped breaking ball after breaking ball, which is weird to me that a closer would do that, but tells you a little something about how easy it is right now to pitch to the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. He figures, hey, if they can't hit it, why am I going to throw them anything else? But it's been so easy to sit back as a fan
and see
watch
what's happening.
Cleveland do it. We say Francona's doing
all of these great. It's got to frustrate you as a former player, doesn't it?
100% it does. I mean, it's a simple plan, and then you watch great hitters go up like Eddie in the first inning taking a fastball right down the middle for strike one. Why?
That was a dick-high fastball.
Why would you do that? Yeah. You saw Batista take four fastballs. I think he swung at one of them. But he saw four fastballs on the plate. Sometimes you have to take advantage of what's given to you. And right now the Blue Jays are either taking strikes and swinging at balls. Right now, this is what I said. The better team's winning. Mm-hmm. The best team in this series is up 3-0. It's hard to say that because I picked this team to go to the World Series, and I think very highly of the Blue Jays. The names on their back are no better than baseball. Okay, but the approach is you would think they haven't played in a very long time because of what they take and when they take it and how long over and over again. Okay.
Well,
Miller, you know.
It's what we talked about, though. If you're advanced scouting, if you had followed the Blue Jays through the month of September, scouting report looks the same every day.
It's easy.
The problem, and this gets to the point, I think, why we are going to see in the offseason this team look differently. This team needs to get a little more left-handed. It needs to get younger. It needs to get more athletic. And I'm not saying that necessarily means you back up the truck because you're not going to do it that because you're going to have a good payroll probably the same, and you still got a competitive window of opportunity. But
the inability to use the entire field has killed the Blue Jays. I don't know if it's because they're right-handed. The inability to use the entire field. You see head flies, and when they swing through a ball, it's looking in the third base dugout.
Yep.
That's not how you hit.
Richard Justice is the national baseball writer for MLB.com. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Richard, I know you've covered a lot of postseason games, not to aid you, but, well, you've covered more than I have.
Well, you just did.
I know. Where would you put what Terry Francona did last night, you know, in your own sort of personal, not going to say Hall of Fame, but your own personal list of managerial performances in the postseason? Because it's got to be right up there.
Oh, it's going to be pretty high. Not only that, it's going to be a reference point going forward. And I think the way we've seen in other postseason series, the way we've seen it operate, is you're going to go back and say, okay, maybe that's changed the way we're going to use relievers in games. And I think this has been coming for a while. I know one manager has a couple of young starters that he likes them in the bullpen because he feels like he gives them a weapon. You know, and when the Indians went out and got Andrew Miller, you go, well, wait a minute. Eighth inning? Seventh? I don't quite get this. Well, what they did was they didn't really touch the bullpen. They just said, okay, we're going to use this guy where we need him. Fifth inning, sixth inning, ninth inning, whatever. And he's pitching great, and he is great. And that sort of set the tone for everything. The other thing I think that's key in this series, and the Indians, you know, have become this cradle of general managers. So many of the general managers in the game, I think seven, have some ties to Mark Shapiro and the Indians. And I think one of the things they do with the analytics is they do a great job scouting. And you can see Indians pitchers have consistently pitched the Blue Jays backwards, and it's been very effective. They've seen something in the breaking balls that they like. You know, and the funny thing was the Blue Jays only had two at-bats last night with two runners on base. Mm-hmm. One of those in the seventh, Josh Donaldson hit a laser that was caught. And the other one was in the first inning when Bauer went out of the game. And later I asked Russell Martin, I said, did Otero, did he do the breaking ball thing to you? And he goes, no, he threw me two fastballs. And he goes, I'm chasing hits right now. But he said he went backwards from backwards. They went back to a traditional way of pitching. And he just tells you they've got what they've done is now they've kind of gotten in their head. So it'll be interesting to see how Kluber approaches it today. But, you know, he's got so many pitches. He can, if you're executing the pitch, it really doesn't matter if it's a fastball or a slider, but it's kind of it's something to watch about how he approaches it. Do they change the game plan on the fly today?
Yeah, Richard, if you're Mark Shapiro, what's this tell you about your team? Watching a Cleveland Indians team basically go right through a lineup for the Blue Jays that's heavily right-handed, easily with two pitches, fastball, whatever your breaking ball is. What does this tell Mark Shapiro he needs to do in the offseason?
Well, I think, first of all, you take a deep breath and go, okay, did we have a good year? We had a hell of a year. And when this series started, they'd won six in a row. In the four postseason games, they'd hit 10 home runs. It was that laser show of an offense. Everything looked good. Their rotation was better than Cleveland's rotation. You know, they came back home, they're down 0-2, but they had their big boys going. They had Stroman and Sanchez going, and Cleveland was going to pitch, And so I think the first thing, just because if you lose this series, and history says they're going to lose this series, don't go nuts and think you got to tear up the club. This is a good team that's been to the postseason 2 years in a row. A bunch of teams would like to have this, but obviously they have decisions to make on Encarnacion and Bautista, and there were two stretches this year where Jose Bautista looked like a 35-year-old player, and then that gets into payroll and all of that stuff. So, you know, do they need to go out and get more left-handed? I can't figure that out. But I know this, when you got Stroman and Sanchez at the front and you got Osuna at the back, you got a great place to start.
I want to ask you this because I asked Jim Rosenhaus this question, and I know you've probably seen Carlos Correa as much as anybody. We've seen glimpses of him. You know, now we're seeing glimpses of Francisco Lindor. I mean, I love Correa, and I admit I had not seen Lindor that much. Can you maybe compare the two of them to me? Because, they're both, again, Richard, this game's going backwards. Seems like one of the keys to being successful is having that really, really outstanding shortstop and a young one.
Yeah, it's been funny to see Ripken on the field. You know, Nomar, A-Rod, those guys wanted to be Ripken. Tulo wanted to be A-Rod, Nomar, those guys. And now Lindor, Bogarts, Betts, Correa, all these guys. I said Betts, he's not a shortstop. But it's amazing what has happened to that position. Correa is bigger. He's not as flashier defensively. He's not as fast. He is going to be more out of the Tulo mold, I think, as a big player who hits home runs. And you know, the other thing is they both have a certain dazzle about them.
Right.
Both play with a certain energy. The one thing that I noticed is maybe Carlos Correa needs to work on his smile a little bit, because Lindor, like when you're around him and he's smiling, he's so engaging. They're both engaging, but it is a cool thing to watch that kid play baseball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How big has Napoli been for Cleveland? You know, you mentioned the young guys. You mentioned Mixon and Santana. Kipnis is had a pretty good year, but you add Napoli, a big power hitting right-hander, veteran guy that's been there and done it before. You know, he can DH, he can play first. What does he bring in your eyes to Cleveland?
Well, it's a reminder that when you have a good season, let's say they go to the World Series, 10 things happen that you had no idea were going to happen. And when you looked at the Indians on the first day of spring training, you said, okay, their rotation's as good as the Mets rotation. Well, two of those guys are now gone. And I guess three of those guys are now gone because of Bauer. But you think, I don't see the offense coming. Well, Napoli's had a bounce back year. He's been good. He's been really good. And he's hit home runs in bunches. And this kid, Tyler Naquin, has come up in the minor leagues, first round draft pick. And he's provided something. And this Jose Ramirez, I said to one of the Indians, I said, who is Jose Ramirez? And he said, we had no idea. And when they had that 14-game win streak, the guy morphed into Babe Ruth. And so, you know, they didn't know what they were going to get from Napoli. They didn't know what they were going to get from Naquin. They didn't know what they were going to get from Ramirez. They knew Kipnis. They knew Lindor. They liked those guys. So it's strange, and Napoli's a big part of it. But, you know, that's what drives general managers crazy. Sometimes you don't know what you have, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Football coaches call it catching lightning in a bottle. You don't know when the magic comes, and you don't know why you lose it sometimes.
You know, one of the other storylines, I think, to emerge from this series, I think is Roberto Perez. I mean, when you look at how far this guy's come, and we had Jim Rosenhaus on, and he said, "Hey, don't forget, Yan Gomes is supposed to be the starting catcher here." But you know, I think there's been so much talk about the strike zone and everything in this series, Richard. And I think one of the things we have to point out is Roberto Perez has done a hell of a job, framing pitches, but just kind of navigating this pitching staff through. I mean, as Mike Napoli said yesterday, you know, I mean. Yeah, you know, Terry makes the moves and the guys make the pitches, but you know, Roberto's the guy out to kind of trying to make it all work. And, you know, okay, this guy trying to remember what this guy throws and things of that nature. He's really emerged in this series, hasn't he?
Yeah, and what he does is a skill that we're just now appreciating. Terry Francona was talking about Yadi Molina yesterday. He said, you can go back and look at pitches when they played in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Pitches are 6 or 8 inches outside, and forget the umpire. When you look at it, Yadi doesn't look like he doesn't even move.
Right.
And he makes it a strike. And that's what Roberto Perez does. And people, I think all of us underestimate the power of a catcher. A catcher's job to me is to get the pitcher in a rhythm and to allow the pitcher, don't think, just throw.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have confidence. And we've heard it, you know, with guys like Roger Clemens talking about the difference in pitching to Posada and Osmus, how they just go out there and it takes so much stress. I trust you. And that's what Roberto Perez does. Yeah, and in this, the Indians, if they win this series, they're going to get all kinds of credit for the scouting, the exposing of the weaknesses and all of this stuff. But Perez is a huge part of that, because those strike calls, they ain't inventing them. They're not all doing themselves. He's mm-hmm. doing some of them.
Richard, we appreciate you joining us. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Richard Justice is a columnist with National Baseball Writer, actually with MLB.com. It was a terrific job. He's been around the game for a long
time. There's not a lot of people you just want to sit down and listen to, right?
Now, Richard's good. Yeah. Richard's yeah. You know, Texas baseball. Richard's a he's when I started covering baseball in like 89, 90 season. And Richard probably had been writing for a while, but there was a whole bunch of them that were just real good guys, like mentors, guys you could talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard's one of them. Richard really gets the game. And I'm going to say this. It's not going to make me real popular. I don't think around here, but I really don't care. I'll tell you this. One of my takeaways from this series.
Yeah.
I really like the Cleveland Indians. I could become a fan of the Cleveland Indians very quickly. Very quickly.
I'm not real sure they're fun to watch. Are they fun to watch? Man,
I love watching them.
Really?
I'll tell you, I could watch Francisco Lindor, you know, standing at second base, and it's a great show.
Yeah. I wish the Blue Jays would have had a little bit more. I don't want to say fight in them because I don't think that's the case. I wish they just had a little bit more. We're going to give in to what you're trying to do to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a right way to say it? Like everything's away. I don't want you to go up and try and overswing and pull everything. I'm not trying to tell you. I'll say this. Whenever I was a player, the more times I hit the ball the other way, got me better pitches to hit.
And let's just
get me a hanging breaking ball. Get me a fastball out of the plate. Because you know what that does? All of a sudden, the pitcher goes, uh-oh, now I have to be real fine with what I'm throwing.
And let's also say this. Hitting pitches the other way ain't small ball.
It's not. They don't know how to play small ball here.
Yeah.
They just don't. They're not geared up for
it. Should they?
Well, how can they?
No, we'll have plenty of time to do a postmortem. I don't want to get into postmortem. But you're Kevin Barker. You're running this baseball team. Do you need to be able to have that in your DNA next year? At least the possibility of playing? See, I don't think it wins in the American League East.
I think you have to be able to consistently put the ball in play.
Okay.
Does that mean small ball?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
But I think you need to have shorter, quicker swings. Now, you need an Eddie mixed in there, and I'm not saying he's coming back, but you need a guy that can run into a three-run homer and hit 250 doing it. That's just every team in the American League East needs that.
What are you seeing from him, by the way, in this series?
Because he's trying really... he's trying to carry the team. He's trying to do too much. He's overswinging.
He's been disappointing to me. I mean, Batista's kind of doing what I thought Batista would do, to be quite honest. And no disrespect to Batista, just is. Eddie's been a bit of a disappointment to me.
Yeah, Eddie's. I've said this more than one time. Eddie's a great hitter, but he's not very good at consistently buying into something. He always wants to go up the middle, mm-hmm. pull side for homers. There's very rarely a time where he'll go four or five at bats in a row and hit the ball to right center. Because that's how they're trying to get him out. They'll say, okay, you beat us to right field. Okay, we're going to walk by and say, way to go, you did it.
Yep.
But you're not going to beat us to the pull side.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Eddie's capable of consistently doing that. Is he a great hitter? Of course he is. But consistently being that guy that does that and use the entire field, he's just not that guy.
Game 3, by the way, of the NLCS goes tonight at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. Now, Jake Arrieta against Rich Hill. Rich Hill just, I can't watch Rich Hill.
Well, that's why they brought him. That's why they brought him to L.A. for this game.
Let me make a prediction. When the world ends, if it ends during baseball season,
yeah,
Rich Hill's going to be in the game.
Why?
There's pestilence, famine. When he's in the game, I just expect bad stuff to happen. Huh. I don't know why.
That's a little harsh.
It probably is a little harsh. Let's take a break. When we come back, more Baseball Central and Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central. Welcome back to Baseball Central for Tuesday, October 18th. Just ahead of Game 4 of the ALCS, the Blue Jays facing elimination down 3-0. And don't worry, it's been done before. The 2004 Cleveland and the 2004 Baltimore. I'll get it right. The 2004 Boston Red Sox
Don't let it beat you.
I know. The 2004 Boston Red Sox came back from a 3-0 deficit to beat the New York Yankees in the ALCS. And, of course, that was the Curt Schilling game with the bloody sock.
Ever had a bloody sock, Jeff? Ever had a sock with blood on it?
I have,
yeah. I went hunting once down in Virginia. Down in Virginia, and I was hunting skeeters with Cliff Floyd, and it was just great. And I had a bloody sock, and he's like, KB, what are you doing, KB? And I said, you got to adjust. Unlike these Jays at the plate, when the cheese is snapped off, you need to adjust.
If it was Cliff Floyd, he would have gone, no doubt.
No doubt, KB.
So, Kevin, we touched on so many topics in the first half of the show. And by the way, game four is today, 4:00 on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Sportsnet Ontario. The Blue Jays Central postseason pregame show with Campbell's on and Tabler. And the radio pregame show will be with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner, one of our favorites. And, of course, immediately following the game, you can call in on the Blue Jays talk.
You're grumpy.
With Mike Wilner at Sportsnet 590.
You're grumpy today. Don't let it beat you.
I'm in a good mood today. I'm not grumpy at all.
Don't let it beat you.
I want to talk about the approach you've seen from the Blue Jays. And, you know, we talked about how, look, they're down 3-0.
That is math. That is correct.
We all know what's facing them. We all know the difficulty they face. Well, let me ask you this. What would you do if you're John Gibbons today? You go in that clubhouse. What do you say to the team? Because you've got to talk to them, right? You got to say something to them.
Well, I went to VTech, right? And I had a coach named Norman Hitchkov. Oh, cool. And Normie. And then Normie, we had a big game against Central Florida. He said, boys, and this is what I say today to the boys. Boys, we're either winning or we're getting our ass kicked. Let's go get them. I'm not a big talker, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's not the best speech. But Gibby's got to say something. You got to change your approach. You got to change. If the ball's on the outer half, you got to go opposite field, man. You got to go opposite field, man. You can't just keep looking slider inside. What are you doing? What are you doing? Change your approach. Change your approach. There's not Cy Young on the mound. Corey Kluber's on 3 days rest. You know what I'm saying, Jeff? Don't let it beat you. Don't let Corey Kluber beat you. I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I can't pull it off anymore.
I'm sorry.
That was Sid Sixero. I tried. I was going to see if I could carry it through to at least 50. There's no freaking way happening.
They're down 0-3. What else are we doing here today?
Yeah, I don't know. I've already dropped the dick-high fastballs it is, so I can't get much worse
than
that.
What else are you going to say?
That was perfect.
That was real good.
Sounded just like
Kevin Barker's in the room critiquing my Kevin Barker. How was it? Was it okay?
That's perfect.
It was okay?
Man, it was spot on.
Can I say something? I love this show. I listen to this show every day.
So do I.
And you guys do a great job.
That means a lot.
And I'm just here busting balls because we're doing something downstairs and you let me bother you. But I love this show.
A good job of bothering us.
Yeah, it was good. You could tell that we're really upset because, well, look, let's be honest. We got nothing else to say about this. You know, this crap show that we've seen so far, we would just don't.
Can I do my Bundesliga picks?
Whoa, we should have done Bundesliga picks.
I'll take Schalke 5.
Now, you'd be cheating, though. Bayern
Munich.
Borussia Dortmund. I'll take them.
I'm going Leipzig.
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 Seriously.
Leipzig.
No, but hold on. In all seriousness, again.
All those are good.
They're all good
those
teams.
Are good picks.
Your Bundesliga picks are
spot on.
The bee's knees, brother.
Of course they are.
If this ends today, I want to congratulate the job you guys have done because no one else is going to do it because you guys aren't going to talk about yourselves in that way. But I'll talk about you in that way. If the season ends today or tomorrow, whatever, congratulations to the both of you for doing a phenomenal job on this show.
Just wait a minute. You just got a little something in the corner of your mouth there. Just hang on.
Don't worry. I thought we weren't going to talk about that. But but you guys not only in terms of the Jays let people know what's going on and your chemistry's great and you guys are honest with people. You add a lot to what else is going on in the world of baseball.
No, thanks.
And you don't hear that a lot, quite frankly, on Toronto Sports Radio, to be fair about it. Nice. You guys go about it in a very different way, and congratulations on the year you've had. This is a really good show you guys put together.
So you're saying that you got no faith in these guys winning today.
None whatsoever. Well, that's what I heard.
Come on.
Please don't tell people that we do the show with our shirts off, though. That would not.
Yeah.
You're letting a lot of cats out of the bag.
I know.
They faced six relievers last night, and they're going to win today? Their starter left. He started bleeding in the first inning. It was like a Friday the 13th movie.
It was actually pretty bad. I kept thinking of Saw.
And Gibby comes out. He's
I watched like 5 minutes of that movie.
He's bleeding.
Cried.
He's bleeding. He's bleeding. I'm like, oh, the Jays got him now.
Yeah.
The Jays, it's going to be some small ball here, and Jose's going to have truth and circumstances there, and it's going to be great.
By the way, let's play that Trevor Bauer clip again, because Trevor Bauer, he is a bit of a knob,
it's a huge douchebag.
But he's also rapidly becoming one of my favorite. Play the clip, Derek. Here we go.
I looked down. It's bleeding pretty good. It's like, you know, my only chance to stay in the game here is end the at bat quick, get in the dugout, hope to stop the bleeding, but, you know. Sometimes the circumstances aren't in your favor, and good teams overcome them and find a way to win. So I'm glad we were able to do that today.
Yeah, you're going to tell me that he didn't know that Jose Bautista dropped the circumstances line. Of course he did.
Wow.
Of course he did, Barks.
Of course he did.
You know he did,
Barks. I don't know anything.
Of course he did.
I just know the Jays can't score any runs.
When are we going to the keg?
Whenever you want.
Let's do this.
Are you buying?
We'll talk about it later. Go ahead.
Because Jeff, you know, Jeff always seems to lose his wallet when he goes to eat. I didn't bring my wallet.
Guys, I'm needed downstairs. I'm not joking. I'm late.
Gary? Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. And
I you guys do a great show. Thanks, I really like this show.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me jump in and have a little fun.
No problem. Yeah. No problem.
Richard Justice is the mayor, too.
I like this Sid a lot.
See you, boys.
Oh,
is it off, Jeff?
Yeah. Go away.
Use both hands.
Yeah, use both hands. That's good. Thank you. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that was the one and only.
He sounded just like me.
No, he didn't sound like you.
Nothing?
No. It was pretty good. I couldn't pull. I couldn't come up with stuff to say because I'm sitting there looking at Sid, and I just didn't
it's
want
to
break
hard not
to
laugh when you look at him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what the hell were we going to talk about?
How about the Dodgers?
I don't want to talk about the Cubbies. I don't want to talk about the Dodgers and Cubs because Rich Hill is pitching. I don't want to talk about the Dodgers.
Man.
I don't want to talk about the Dodgers and Cubs at all. What will be assigned to you tonight, the Corey Kluber, coming back on 3 days rest? I don't know how many times somebody mentions. I don't know how many times we should call Pete Walker and say, hey, Pete.
<We should. laughs>
Hey, Pete, Corey Kluber's coming off in 3 days. That's an inside
it
joke.
Is.
What would be assigned to you the Corey Kluber that the 3 days rest is having an impact on him or has had an effect on him?
I would think the breaking ball. As much as they're trying to get the Blue Jays out with the breaking ball, if he has trouble throwing the breaking ball anywhere near the plate, I would think that has something to do with it. But I think he has so much movement and he understands mechanically what he needs to do to get it to the same slot every time, meaning get that arm up and repeat the same delivery over and over again. He's a special pitcher. I think it has to do more with the Blue Jays hitting the ball hard early in the game. Even if it's an out the other way up the middle, even if they're outs, that would make the pitcher change to make the catcher do something different. Right now it's real easy. I put fastball down away. I put breaking ball down and away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simple. That's an easy approach for a pitcher catcher, and you just play catch. It's more about the Blue Jays, I think, than anything. And
I got to bring this up, by the way, because I've been reminded on Twitter about this. And Anthony Cardelli on Twitter. So my favorite at bat this series was Navarro's last night against Miller. All right. Yesterday in this show, you suggested that perhaps you go with Deonner Navarro.
I think it's a day late.
Yeah.
Elimination game, I just don't think you can't put Russell in the game.
Sure.
I'm with Joe. Yesterday, I would have done it. Russell's lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can say what you want. Last time I checked, he was like 7 for his last 67. Now that's went. I think he's got a couple more hits since then and added about 15 more at bats to that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's treading water, man. It's just this is the day late. You know, I'm just not going to do it. Yesterday would have made perfect sense. The only reason I say that, you would have added another lefty bat, and he would have brought energy behind the plate. He would have brought a little bit something different behind the plate. I like Russell. I'm a big fan. I think they're here because a lot has to do with Russell. But I think they're a day late. And, you know, he changed the lineup, Gibby did. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of that, but you look at their lineup and what's putting Batista first.
No, Batista was on base twice.
What
now.
That does is it puts your four best hitters right up front.
Yeah, and he was on base twice. Third inning, he gets on with the leadoff single. And I didn't even talk about this,
but
he gets on with the leadoff single. Donaldson pop up the first base foul. Eddie pop up the second base. Tulo pop up the shortstop. Come on.
You know what all those pitches were, right? Eddie took the fastball down the middle. Tulo took fastballs thigh high on the plate. They're not throwing breaking ball after breaking ball after breaking ball. They're getting ahead with the fastball. They're showing enough heaters in to these right-handed hitters to stand them up because that's what you do. That's just what you do. You have to do that. You can't throw 129 pitches away. It just doesn't give you a lot of hope. And you know me, I'm a very half full glass guy. But man, what tells you they're going to come out of it? What tells you that the Cleveland has to do something different? No, there's nothing.
Oh no, if you're Cleveland, you're just
keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing what you're doing.
That's the you say 3 days rest for Kluber. Basically, I can go out and throw fastball. Yeah.
It does get interesting, though, and Richard Justice pointed this out. It does get interesting if they win this game, because now you got Ryan Merritt.
You got Estrada.
Then you got Tomlin.
Yeah.
And then you got maybe Kluber coming back on, well, you definitely, according to what Terry Francona said, you'd have Kluber coming back again in 3 days. I mean, it does.
Most of the time, I would agree with you. But when you can roll out Otero, which his ERA in like 62 games a season is like in the half ones, 1.5 something, and you can roll out McCaster, Shaw, Allen, and Miller.
Yeah, and I got to tell you,
they're not left-handed, they're right-handed.
I got an email during the game from a friend of mine, scout, and he said, his point was said, I don't know if I'm a real big fan of putting Manship out here because he's going to be throwing hard, and he's a guy they could touch.
Yeah, but you know what he did too? He was the one guy that threw in. He throws 98.
Yeah.
Okay, you can turn this around. Here's my 98. That's that's when you see him go in. That's a real simple approach.
Let's make no mistake. There was no accident. It was no accident that Terry Francona used him when he used him.
Sure.
The guy who can come in and throw inside and throw hard. And I'm sure Francona's probably thinking, I've only got this guy for an inning or two because too many fastballs, these guys are going to start. They're going to start making contact.
Threw an inning. Give up a hit.
So. Anyhow, there you are.
I think Sanchez has got to go 8 scoreless or 7 scoreless and turn it over to bullpen. Mm-hmm. I really do.
I do want to say this as well, and I don't want to, we got a little more than a minute here. I don't want to lower the curtain in the season, but do keep in mind if you get towards the end of the game and the Jays aren't going to win, this is probably going to be the last chance you get to see Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. In a Blue Jays jersey. So if that happens, just saying, if it happens, take advantage of the opportunity, because whatever you may be feeling about Jose Bautista right now, or whatever you may be feeling about Edwin Encarnacion right now, never forget that the Jays are where they are right now, largely because of what these guys have done for this organization during this time. So again, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking about maybe getting you set for game 5, but I'm just saying, keep that in mind when you go to the game this afternoon. Jays are losing. It gets late in the game. You know, these guys deserve a great deal of credit from the fans. That's it for me. For Richard Justice, Kevin Barker, and Kevin Barker's alter ego, Sid Barksero, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Have a great day, everybody.